Pierre McGuire standing by, brought to you by Paramount Financial Services. Lorne Rubin at Paramount has been taking care of other people's money for over 25 years. Give him a call. You can get quotes on insurance and a whole lot more, and he's not difficult to find, and he's very, very easy to talk with. 514-905-0885.
They're working. We're spending a little bit too much time playing defense, especially in the second period, and that happened last game as well, and so we're not able to move and generate the way that we want to out there.
We've got to do a better job of advancing pucks up the ice and establishing no zone presence. A lot of that falls on me. I got to be able to get in there and win pucks, get my body on pucks, move my feet, and allow us to get up the ice and start rolling and cutting back and making some plays at the net.
Chris Kreider and Peter Laviolette on Kreider and Mika Zibanejad in particular following Game 4. Good afternoon, Pierre. How you doing?
I'm very well, Mitch. How are you doing?
I'm fine. Thank you very much. I know Canadiens fans don't really care. Maybe they enjoy this when a guy like Kreider is clearly struggling. But that's the beauty of a seven-game series. I was just mentioning Aaron. I find it difficult to believe that they'll keep going here without doing something significant. What do you see? Do you want to expand on what Laviolette was saying and Kreider?
Oh, it's easy to expand. The last two games in the first period, the New York Rangers were the better team and the Florida Panthers were not. Paul Maurice had to get his players' attention. He snapped them to attention. I don't know what he said. They've clearly not started the last two games on time, but they're very fortunate. They reeled in last night, especially late. They dominated the cycle. They dominated the forecheck. They're strong side pin. So if the puck's coming out, the New York Rangers, left side of the ice, their right defenseman was pinching down all the time. The same thing if they were coming out the right side, the left defense of Florida was pinching all the time, creating huge problems for the Rangers coming out of their own zone. That would speak to what Chris Kreider was talking about. In terms of Peter Laviolette, he knows. He's dealing with a deck of cards right now where a bunch of the cards are bent. That means they got guys hurt. And they don't want to talk about it, which I get. It's not part of the deal. Like, you don't want to expose injuries. But you can see, if you watch the Rangers all year, there's some guys in the team that just are not playing to their level. And part of it is because they don't have the same get-up as go as they used to have.
Well, we're still – I know he assisted on both their goals last night, but it's clear Adam Fox is not the same guy. He hasn't scored yet. But it's not just that. And Ryan Lindgren, man, is he battling. He's so – it's admirable to watch him, but he seems to be getting worse physically with each passing game.
Those would be two that I would allude to. There's more than that. I mean, the fact that you brought their names up, you're spot on. I don't feel comfortable talking about the names of players, but I do think just, again, I think I watched every one of their regular season games, and I know I watched every single one of their playoff games so far. There's certain guys there that are not 100%. And, you know, I know the fans love to go after the guys, and I get it. I totally understand that. It's part of the deal. The passion of the fans is what makes the NHL so great. But I also know you got to be fair. And when this series is over, whether the Rangers win or lose, I think people will be surprised at the amount of injuries that some of these guys have had.
Is that why he went to Blake Wheeler? I know he was ready, and he's ready, and he's a veteran. But because of what you're alluding to?
I think so. You know, I haven't talked to Peter about it. I haven't, you know, my friends on that staff are Michael Pekka and Peter Laviolette. You know, I know Phil Housley a fair bit, but I don't really talk to him on an everyday basis. In fact, I haven't talked to him in a couple of years. But I would just tell you that I haven't talked to either one of the people that I know, probably the best on that staff. And I can just tell you from watching that there's something injury-wise. Hey, listen, everybody's injured. I'm not making excuses for the Rangers. But I think that their injuries are pretty key guys, and that's tough. That's tough.
Pierre, when you look at that, is that one of the reasons why the Florida power play looks the way it is, or does full credit really go to that Florida power play that I heard it described today as clinical? And I thought that was like such a great description of that power play and what so many teams struggle to make their power play look like.
Well, if you want to really look at it, one of the things they have is they've got a huge weapon in Brandon Montour, because he can pass the puck as well as he can shoot the puck. And last night, if you watch the play, Tkachuk is on the boards. He gets overplayed by Trouba. And unfortunate part for Trouba is there's no support. He started a press on the penalty kill, and then Montour made the right read and did a seam pass down to Barkov. And then as soon as, you know, Reinhardt sees that, he bounces out, and he takes advantage of the one timer off this slick feed from Barkov. But it all starts when Montour makes the right read after accepting the Tkachuk pass, and he sees that Trouba's overplayed on Tkachuk and nobody is sealed on the strong side, and that creates a seam pass down low. So it's guys making the right read, Andy, more than anything else, and Montour is able to do that. And if he doesn't pass the puck, Montour can absolutely blow it by. His agent is Matt Cater, the same agent that had, represents Blake Wheeler, the same agent that represents Adam Fox, the same agent that represents a young kid, Ryan Leonard, who may or may not sign with Washington. And I told Matt the other day, because watching Montour so much, I said, you're going to have one heck of a Christmas, because he's going to get a whack of money from Brandon Montour's contract. Brandon Montour is going to be one of the most highly sought after unrestricted free agents in the league this year.
So one of the Trocheck goal was also on the power play for New York. So we're slowly seeing the offense come alive here in these series. Now the question out west is...
Yeah, they're a good kill. You know, they're aggressive. They're good up ice. They make it hard to get in. And when you do get in, it's tough to get set up and get them settled down. So they're a real good kill. But we got to bear down. We got to be a factor in the series. And yeah.
Connor McDavid, Pierre, at some point, you know, it was producing at nearly a 50% rate, which is ridiculous. You knew it had to come down. Now it's in the low 30s, kind of like where Florida is. You would imagine it's going to come to life maybe as soon as tonight, because if it doesn't, they're done.
There are two critical elements to that power play in Edmonton, and if you take them away, you're going to make other guys uncomfortable. One of the big things is Evan Bouchard and his shot. We talked about Montour in Florida. You know, same thing with Evan Bouchard. They're both right-hand shots, and they can both actually bring the heat. So Bouchard's shot is something you got to pay attention to. You can't overplay. You got to play body on stick, not body on body. That's number one. Number two is McDavid's play to Draisaitl, the left shot on the right-hand side of the ice, and he can score from the top of the circle on the right-hand side, your left. He can score from inside the circle, and he can score from below the circle, almost on the icing line with the one-timer. So if you're that defenseman on that side of the ice, you have to make sure you're shading, and that's a term that coaches use. You're shading over to play against, you know, probably the best one-time shooter from that angle that I've ever seen in Draisaitl. I'm not sure I've ever seen a guy that could one-time from that bad angle as regularly as he does. And the puck finds the net. So if you take away those two options, you're left with forcing your guys to defend McDavid's shot from distance or Hyman crashing the net looking for loose change. So you have to stress to the goalie. Rebound control, you got to stress to the backside D. Don't leave Hyman early, front him, but make sure you have contact with him. And you have to make sure that your weak side forward understands the only real shooting option we're trying to give is to McDavid. Because if we let him penetrate the penalty killing box and make all these feeds, either to Bouchard or Draisaitl, we got a problem. So I see what Peter's doing. It's something Vancouver didn't do well enough, but I see what Peter DeBoer's doing, and it's working for them. It's working really well for them.
You know, we've got a young defenseman who we believe has got tremendous upside, has to play. So, well, if we have our six, it was not beneficial for him being here as our seven. He went to Bakersfield and was great down there, played really well. And, you know, after their season's finished, or at the end of our season, you know, we got into a few games. And, yeah, depending on, you know, I know in the future, down the road, next season, he's going to be a big part of this organization. And right now, we have a difficult decision. And, you know, putting in a young player who hasn't played. But we know if he does get that opportunity, he's well qualified to do it and could provide something for our team.
What do you make of that today? Chris Knobloch, Pierre, didn't make it official, but they made Philip Roberg available to the media. So it sure seems like he's going to play tonight. And he also mentioned at the end of his Q&A with the media that they may go with 7D and 11 forwards. What does that tell you?
I could see them going 11 and 7, for sure. I could. Broberg's got live legs. There's some inconsistencies in his game, especially defensively, making reads, in neutral zone in particular. But there's a lot of positive there, too. He's a puck mover. He can break the forecheck with his legs and also with his passing. He's good on the offensive blue line. He can go laterally really well. So I think that that's actually a slick move. It's a smart move. There's no, they don't need to play four lines tonight. They really don't. You know, McDavid has proven, Drysdale's proven, even the Nugent Hopkins has proved they can play 27 to 29 minutes without a problem, all three of those guys. So I don't think that going 11 and 7 tonight. Mitch, I think, I hope you agree, and if you don't, I hope you'll tell me too. If Edmonton loses tonight, they're losing the series.
Well, that's it. Yeah, this is game seven for the Oilers tonight. You could come back. We've seen a lot of teams come back 1-3, but this is Dallas we're talking about. This is
So you agree, right?
Yes.
This is their game seven. They have to win tonight. So you're not holding the ponies back. You're letting them run. And when I say that, I'm talking about Nugent Hopkins. I'm talking about McDavid. I'm talking about Drysdale. You're turning those guys loose. And that's why you don't need 12 forwards. You need that extra D man, especially if Broberg comes in and plays well.
I'll give this to whoever wants to handle it. Darnell Nurse has taken a ton of heat here the last 24 hours. His numbers in this series don't show well. Your thoughts on, I guess, how he's played, what the heat he's getting, and what you think you'll get tonight?
I'll take that. He's a big piece of our room. Plus minus whatever I know, it's a funny stat, but he gives us everything he's got, and he always has for a long time. He's a big part of our room. I would expect him to have a great one tonight.
It's a funny stat, Pierre, but there's nothing funny about being the lowest plus minus player in the playoffs at minus 11.
No, it's a stat that matters, Mitch, unfortunately. And, we can talk chapter and verse about whether if people disagree or agree. But the truth is that that's the number that he has right now by his name. And it's a tough number. I love the way Connor handled that. I thought that was amazingly appropriate. That's Mark Spector that asked the question. And Spec is not shy. He asked really hard questions, but he's also, I think, fair. But that's a tough question. You know what I thought when I heard that, Mitch? You know, we're going to go back a long way in history. That reminded me of something Bob Gainey would answer as a captain. And you talk about elegance and captaincy. Jean Beliveau was an amazing mentor. Henri Richard was a little bit different, but still he had the winning pedigree. But Bob Gainey was a Canadiens captain. Do you know what I mean, Mitch? It mattered. What he said mattered. His teammates didn't get pushed around by the media. The fans couldn't push his players around when he was a GM. And I thought that when I heard Connor answer like that, the first person I thought of was Bob Gainey. I thought it was very Gainey-esque.
Yeah, I should point out that Spector directed it at McDavid or Stuart Skinner, who was sitting next to McDavid at the podium. That's why he said immediately as the captain, I'll handle this.
Yeah, I'll handle. That's what I thought of. I don't know if you agree with me or not, Mitch, but I thought that reminded me of Bob right away.
Well, and especially as a GM in relation to all the heat that Patrice Brisebois was taking, right? And he went after the fans for booing Brisebois. But, Pierre, so if you're talking to Darnell Nurse, he's been around. He's not like he's not like Broberg being dropped in here. What would your pregame chat with him be like?
I think Paul's probably already dealt with it. Paul could probably say, I've been in your shoes. I've skated in your skates. I know what you're going through. There were times when I was playing where I didn't have a good plus minus, but I could still affect the outcome of the game in a positive way. And you have a lot of the same offensive, instincts that I had. And so you got to utilize those. Play to your strengths. Let's just simplify in our own zone. And in the offensive zone, use your creativity, use your shot, use your speed, use your size. I'd never go dark on a guy like that. I'd never go negative. Never, ever, ever. Because he's already broken down. The fans have harangued him enough. And trust me, he can say, I don't pay attention. His family hears it. His friends hear it. significant other hears it, they all hear it, and believe me, you hear it. And so I think Paul's probably going to go straight positive with him and just tell him, I know exactly what you're going through, and there's ways to get out of it, and here's how I did it. And I really expect Paul to do that.
All right, in conclusion, I mentioned Skinner being up there. I was very impressed on game day. I mean, on this is such an important game with such a spotlight, and he's there ready to talk questions. And there's as much pressure on him as anybody on the ice tonight. Do you have any kind of gut feel about him tonight?
I don't have a gut feel on him because this guy didn't see him take shots yesterday. I wasn't at the skate today, obviously. What I would say is he's shown to be resilient so far, especially after he got replaced by Pickard. And then he had to come back in late in that series with Vancouver, and I thought he did some really good work. Do I think it's going to be easy for him? No. Here's one thing that I'm concerned about for Edmonton. It's the same thing I told you the other night before game three. I'm going to say the same thing again. I think the fans good to help him out to a goal and a half because of how great the fans are in Edmonton. I really believe that, and I'll stay with that. But my concern is they get tired mentally. They get tired physically, the players, that is. We're in the third round now. We're in the Western Conference Final. It is a grind. I've been through it for a lot of years. It's a grind. And I don't know if they can sustain it against a real veteran, hard-edged, four-line, attack-oriented type team that's got a matchup tandem, you know, with Esa Lindell and Chris Tanev that makes it so hard on their star players to manufacture offense. I just think it's a hard matchup for Edmonton. I really do.
Stanley Cup Central on YouTube, the iTest podcast with Jimmy Murphy with us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Thank you, as always, Pierre McGuire. We'll talk on Friday.
I heard the ladies had lunch today.
Oh, really? Oh, my mom and Sally. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
That's what I heard.
Okay, I'm going to check in just
a
few minutes.
How do I get an invite to that? I was trying to hone in on everybody's plans.
Now that you have mentioned that, Sally will invite you to the next one.
I would love that.
As long as you leave early enough to get here.
Anyways, that's all I can tell you is I know they had fun, so way to go.
Okay. Thank you for that. Talk on Friday. Bye-bye.
Bye.